Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it has been once again just being in this place, sensing the presence of God here as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Mark in chapter 10, Mark in chapter 10. Is this mic not working? Now it is? All right, good, good. Hopefully we didn't have any more problems with that thing. All right, Mark in chapter 10. We started a series I think it's somewhere around the end of November on why we do what we do. Why we do what we do. And of course, why we do what we do as the Lighthouse Baptist Church is all based upon the authority of God's Word. Everything that we do here has a biblical base to it. How we run our services, why we have soul winning ministries, why we say amen instead of clapping for appreciation for the specials. And that's one I think we still have to preach to you yet, but most of you know why we use the King James Bible, why we have preaching, why we have an invitation, why some of these things, if you've been in a independent fundamental Baptist church, is just second nature to you. But not everyone has been grounded in the things of God. And they come to a church like this and they don't know why we do what we do. And this is the first time that they've been exposed to a true biblical ministry, possibly. And getting away from just religion and getting to the place of learning about Christ. And so why we do what we do. And so everything we do is based on the Word of God. Tonight, what I want to do is preach and teach on why we have a bus ministry. We're coming up on the 30-year anniversary of the church coming this April, and it's exciting. We're going to have a big 30th anniversary for the church. It seems impossible that we have been doing this as the Lighthouse Baptist Church for 30 years. And then I think this auditorium is 20 years old in this auditorium. And it seems like it was just yesterday we were finishing up on the painting of the things and getting it ready for services. But yet it's been 20 years since we've been in this auditorium as the church. And so it's been 30 years of ministry. And one of the things that really, I guess, mark this church and what we stand for is a bus ministry. We've had a bus ministry. This has been a church with a heart to reach children and to help children. And it is something that comes with a great expense, running the buses, especially when the gas is $4 a gallon, and running the vans, having the bus workers who have to come an hour early and stay an hour later than everyone else, trying to keep all the things manned, trying to make sure that we have the classes that will accommodate all the children that we bring in, and trying to keep the teachers from pulling out their hair. And helping them to get to the place where they can actually teach the message, teach the Word of God to the students. And throughout the years, we've adjusted our bus ministry, and I trust that we want to continue to make it a more effective ministry. We're not looking to babysit children when we bring them into the church. We're looking to teach them and ground them in the words of God. And so they have to be taught. And so preparing teachers to be able to teach bus children as well as the church children, and not making a difference, but bringing them together and helping them to grow in their and the nurture and admonition of the Lord together. And so it's been a challenge, and it makes it very difficult at times to continue the bus ministry. But it has been something that I believe that has kept the hand of God upon this ministry. I believe reaching children comes from the very heart of God. And I believe if you're going to have a true biblical ministry, then you're going to have a ministry to reaching children, and especially in the day and age that we live. And so Mark in chapter 10, if you'll stand with me, this is the biblical base upon why we have a bus ministry. This is what the Bible says about reaching children. Just one of the passages of scriptures, there's many, but this is the heart of the Lord. In Mark in chapter 10 and verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was, and I love this, much displeased. Not just a little bit displeased, The Bible says that Jesus was much, emphasis on this, much displeased, and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." It's the ways of God. God's desire is to reach children. And God designed, as we used in Sunday school this morning, God designed a man. God designed a woman. And God designed a way that they would be able to reproduce. And man was created for God's pleasure. Woman was created for God's pleasure. And conception and children were created and designed by God for God's pleasure. If you're a grandparent here this evening, you know exactly what it is to be blessed by children, especially grandchildren. And through God's design, He had children in mind. And God is blessed by children. And so He says, "For such is the kingdom of God." Children being around the throne of God, children being brought to the Lord, that's part of the plan of God. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And He took them up in His arms. I wanted to emphasize this. I believe everyone that was there, He took them up one by one to His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them. What a great sight. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, once again for allowing us to assemble ourselves together. And Lord, as we have assembled here, we've come here in Your name, knowing, God, as we've assembled in Your name, that You're here in the midst. And God, as we've come tonight, we're a needy people. Thank You for what we've already received from the services and just being strengthened by other believers assembled together with us. Thank You for the singing, congregational, and the special music. What a blessing it's been, how it's blessed our hearts. Now as we open up the Word of God, I pray, God, that You would use it once again and use me as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message from this passage of Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. As we read this passage of Scripture, it's very evident that Jesus was not very happy with His disciples in turning away the children, saying that you're not important enough. We've got better things to do with our time as far as serving the Lord and doing the work of God than to spend our time dealing with children. And so we find the disciples rebuke those that would bring them, whether it was parents or whether it was bus workers. It was somebody who saw the need for children to come to the Lord. And they had a desire, if it's parents, they had a desire for God's hand of blessing to be upon their children. Every parent ought to have the desire for God's hand of blessings to be upon their children. And we find the disciples, those who should have known better, those that would have been following the Lord, we find His disciples rebuking those who wanted to bring their children to the Lord. God was very displeased. Jesus was very displeased with their ignorance concerning the need for children to be brought to Him. And anyone who is ignorant enough to not to think that children need to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, for anyone to believe that children, the church has too many other things to do than to give the time and effort and finances to a bus ministry, can I tell you that that is your ignorance of God's will? And God is not very pleased with the ignorance of those who should know better and understand that children, especially children, need to be brought to the Lord. So Christ taught them a truth that every church ought to accept today. Again, I believe if it's going to be a biblical ministry and if you're going to support a church, if you have God's tithe to give to God and you give to God through His church, you'd better make sure that the church that you're tithing to is a biblical church, is a church that is doing what God has commissioned the church to do. And evangelism is at the very top of the priority for the church, evangelizing the world. God has given to us the Great Commission. He's established a church to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. He's established a church for every believer to be a part of that local body. And as part of being a part of that local body, using your talents and your gifts to accomplish what God has a church here to accomplish, and one of the priorities of the church ought to be to reach not only the world, but in reaching the world, reaching children. And we see this right here. He was preparing them to do the work that he would establish his church to do. And they needed to understand and not be ignorant of the fact that children needed to be brought to the Lord. And so he taught them this lesson. Reaching children, the first thing I want to look at here is reaching children is a vital part in obedience and the perpetuating, the perpetuity of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the commission that he's given to us to go into all the world, to reach the world with the gospel, first of all, with our own Jerusalem. As we are looking to do the will of God concerning evangelism, the very first ones that you ought to be evangelism and looking to do use your influence over is your own family. Those that you're the closest to, you have the greater impact on their lives. You have the greater opportunity to influence them for the cause of Christ. Your testimony, how you address them, what you look at as the important things to discuss when you're together, what you want to do, the testimony that you have before them. Listen to me. The greatest opportunity that you have to evangelize the world is, first of all, evangelize your Jerusalem or those of your own family. And not just to be so concentrated on that, but we do it all at the same time. We reach Indianapolis at the same time we're reaching Indiana, and the same time we're reaching the United States of America, and the same time we're reaching the world through missions. It's all being done at the very same time. But it's giving time and attention to these areas of evangelism. So our Jerusalem, what's around us? How in the world can we justify reaching children of other nations when we're letting the children in our own backyards be raised without an understanding about God? How can you go out soul winning and reaching others and when you're not even witnessing to your own family? Listen to me. We ought to take advantage of the opportunities we have, the open door to communicate with our family. And yes, they might turn you off from time to time, and they might tell you, I don't want to hear it. And you might even be persecuted from your own family. But what you're trying to do is to help them with what they need. They need your witness, whether they realize it or not. They need to know what you know. They don't know what you know for the most part, but they need to know what you know. So we need to take that advantage and that opportunity that God's given us to reach those in whom we are closest to. Reaching children is a vital part in obeying the Great Commission. And if you will, the perpetuity or the continuation of accomplishing the Great Commission. In Luke in chapter 14, just a few pages, chapters over, Luke in chapter 14, let me just read this to you. Jesus had sent his disciples out soul winning, door to door. He had sent them out two by two. He sent them out with the 90 and other, all that he was reaching. In chapter 14, he says this in verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. God wants as many that would desire to be in church to be in church. Now, we are not to force them, and we cannot force them, but we're to compel them. We're to go out and tell them we have something that you have need of. And if the parents don't want to take advantage of that, if the parents don't want to come, then praise the Lord for the children who have a desire to learn about God. But we as a church ought to be out there compelling them to come to the house of God, to learn about the truths of God, things that will impact their lives. Compel them to come in. It's part of why we're here. There's a ministry called the Child Evangelism Fellowship. It's been going on for some time, and I don't agree with everything that they might do, but they have a great ministry of reaching children. And they have different vacation Bible schools, and they go into different areas, and they're around the world. It's a great ministry of reaching children. And they did a survey, and that's what I want to present to you tonight. Their survey of the children of the United States of America. somewhere in their survey, they figured out that somewhere between 60 and 80% of the children of the United States of America are unchurched. 60 to 80% in America. And this is not just talking about independent fundamental Baptist churches. This is any church. 60 to 80% of the children of this Christian nation have no idea, are not being raised to know that there's a God. In this nation. Wow. And I guarantee you that's growing. That percentage is growing every year. No need for church. Society is teaching them there's really no need for God because there really is no God. We are raising a generation of young people that do not believe in a God. If they don't believe in a God, can I tell you, they'll not support a church. If you don't support a church, then you're not supporting the work that God has established for the church to accomplish, which is the light of the world, which is the pillar and the ground of all truth. If you don't have the church, you're going to lose the truth in society. Can I tell you that most adults who are saved today were saved when they were young? If you weren't saved when you were young, you at least had the seed planted. A seed that continued to just grind on you and continued to bring conviction into your heart and to reveal to you your need to be in church. Until you yielded to that and went to church and heard the gospel and got saved. Amen. Why? Because America, I think not that long ago, church was something that everyone at least believed in. Whether they attended or not, they would believe in the church. They would understand that the church has had a very important part in raising children. The reality is that children grow up. If 60 to 80% of the children in the United States of America are unchurched today, and children grow up, that's the next generation of adults. What kind of laws? Look at the laws that have been passed now. Look at how we have turned away from Christ. As we mentioned this morning, we are turning more to an anti-Christ society. Not an anti-religion, but an anti-Christ, anti the very doctrines of Christ, the truths of the Bible. And we are so turning away from that today. Where are we going to be in the next generation? The question with that is, how will they turn out? How will the children that are unchurched, how will they turn out? It was said the way to rid society of thieves, murderers, rapists, atheists, and antichrist is to stop raising them. And if you look at the background of most of those that live their lives of criminals, that's all they knew. Their upbringing was that of which was void of the teachings of Christ, void of the godly influences in their lives. I wonder of those that were raised to be thieves, raised to be alcoholics, raised to be drug addicts, raised to be whatever it might be, atheists, raised to be antichrist. If there was a church in their neighborhood that would have reached them on a bus ministry and brought them into the church and taught them the things of God, what a difference it would have done, would have made in their lives. Many are here tonight, my wife for one. If it hadn't been for a bus ministry, hard telling where she would be tonight, what kind of life she would have lived. Bus ministry. God worked through a bus ministry to prepare her to be a pastor's wife. Whew. Jesus is teaching his disciples. He was much displeased. There's a need to bring children to the Lord. God's will for every child is to be brought to Christ. There's not one child born in this world that is not God's will for that child to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's God's will. You know, it's God's will for everyone to be saved, but everyone's not going to be saved. Because God will not force it. It's depending upon a free will of individuals. Ephesians in chapter 6, look over there with me. Ephesians in chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4, a passage of scripture that most parents, hopefully you are very familiar with this passage of scripture, and you make sure that your children are familiar with this passage of scripture as well, is Ephesians in chapter 6. Verses 1 through 4. The Bible giving commandments for the children. It's given to the adults because children do not know how that they ought to be raised. Amen? Now listen to me. Children do not know how they ought to be raised. They have a desire to be raised a certain way. Let me have whatever I want. Never correct me. Never tell me to say yes or thank you. Or apologize for when I do wrong. Children have a desire to be raised a certain way, but God gives instructions on how children ought to be raised. Children do not know that, but an adult who has children had better make themselves aware of it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. But this is right. Every child needs to be raised by a parent that has a desire to raise them to obey God, and to raise them to learn to obey God is first of all raising them to learn to obey parents. Yeah. You have to learn and train yourself to be obedient and to respect authority and honor your parents as you would honor God later on in your life. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth, a promise to God for those who would do this. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The first line of authority over children is their parents. God has given you that place of authority over your children. And the first accountability for how that child is raised is going to be upon the parents of that child. And every parent will be held accountable for how they raise their children. Every parent will be held accountable. Just a few things, and quickly, I'm not going to take you through all the scripture here, but some of the things that a parent will be held accountable for bringing up their children, to raise them for God. God tells you to bring them up. You bring them up to know God and their nurture and admonition on God's plan and God's purpose for their lives. Raise them for God. Children are heritage of the Lord. God has blessed you with those children, but they're His. And sooner you acknowledge that and you start raising them for Him, the better off you will be and the better off your children will be. I remember raising the girls and the two of us, we were united on this, and that's very important that you're united on how you raise your children. Don't let them go between the two of you to get what they want out of their parents. If they can't get it out of dad, then they'll go get it from mom. And they'll get an approval for doing what they want to do, and they learn how to go between mom and dad. Don't let that happen. Don't blame the child for that. The child has a desire how they want to be raised. God tells you how to raise them. And so you and your parent, you as parents, need to work together to do this. And you raise them according to God's will for their lives. You raise them to know that I'm raising you according to God's will because God give me an accountability. I'm going to be accountable to God for how I raise you. Our girls, when they would come to ask me, I'd always ask them, well, what do you think God would think about that? Dad, I'm serious. I'm going to give an account. I'm not going to let you do something that I'm going to get in trouble for. Amen. I want to make sure that whatever you, what I allow you to do is pleasing to God. If God didn't want you to do it, I am not going to give you permission to do it. If it's something that's pleasing to God, I'm all for it, and I will support you in that. But I will not support you in doing that which I know is against the will of God for your life. Adult children need to know that. Raise them for God. You'll give an account for that. To physically discipline them. Not scripture after scripture after scripture in the Bible to tell you that you need to physically discipline your children. Not abusing them, but correcting them, disciplining them, learning how to do that. To command them after you. To command, not suggest to them what to do. Christians are to command their children to do what they say to do. To warn them of God's judgments. You study the scriptures and you'll find all these things as far as what we're going to give. Are you warning your children concerning the judgments of God? They need to learn that there's a hell. They need to learn that there's consequences to their actions. Disciplining your children helps them to learn how to discipline themselves. An undisciplined child will turn out to be a spoiled brat adult. Warn them of God's judgments. Provide for them. If you fail to provide for your children, you're worse than an infidel, as the Bible tells us, 1 Timothy 5:8. Provide for them. Make sure that we're providing for them. To present a good example before them. Possibly one of the most important things that you can do for your children is to make it easy for them to respect you. Most parents say, do what I say and not what I do. You're making it very hard for that child to honor and respect you. But when you say to them, you follow me as an example before you. You do as I do. They can respect that. They can honor that. And that's what God tells them to do. Make it easy for them to respect you. Never lose your influence, your godly influence over your children. And you'll do that through a life of sin. The child loses his respect for a parent. It's devastating, not for the parent, but for the child. That child will go off in a wild direction. Never lose the respect and your influence over your children. The first line of authority and the first line of accountability for children are parents. But can I tell you the second line of authority and the second line of accountability is not the government. The second line of authority and the second line of accountability is the church. And we find this even through the teachings of Christ. Suffer them, not bring them, compel them to come in. The church ought to be the greatest help for any that wants to raise their children according to the will of God. The true church, the biblical church, is going to be there to support you in raising your children the way that God wants them to be raised. Use that. But whether you as a parent will use it or not, the church is going to be accountable. The influence of the church in every city, the influence of the church in every state, the influence of the church in our world. If you were not raised in church, it was not God's will. God's will is your parent, first of all, would bring you to church. But if your parents will not bring you to church, God commissions a church, compel them to come in. Go out and reach them. Go out and bring them in, that my house may be full. Praise the Lord for that. That's just not adults. as children. Can I tell you that God will deal with them who are an offense to children? Matthew chapter 18, look over there with me. I'm not going to be much longer here tonight, but look there with me. Matthew chapter 18. Can I tell you this? Sad to say, the hindrance to most children coming to church is their parents. The hindrance to most children being raised in the nurture and admonition is their parents. Believing in God and serving God with their lives is their parents. They want to limit the influence of the church on their lives. They want to limit how they serve the Lord. They want to limit the exposure to these things. And then they'll expose them to everything this world has to offer. Wow. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 5, Jesus says, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." Amen. We're going out and picking up children. Amen. You're picking up Christ. You're doing the will of God. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, if it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea, woe unto the world because of all offenses, for it must needs be that all offense come, but woe to that man by whom the all offense cometh. An offense is someone that is hindering somebody else from coming to the Lord. If you as a parent are hindering your child from coming to the will of God and doing the will of God and coming to know Christ, being raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, God says, I will deal with you even though you're their parents. You're an offense to your own children. Better off a millstone behind about your head, your neck, and you cast into the deepest part of the sea. I think parents need to look at that and apply themselves, put themselves in that offense. Churches that will not bring children in because of they make a mess, because it's just too much trouble, they can't tithe, they can't serve. Better for a millstone be hanged about your neck and you cast it. Listen to me. Children are to be reached. Children are to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children are to be brought before the Lord. Don't be a hindrance to keep them from Christ. We need to do all we can to bring them to Christ. Reasons for reaching children at biblical ministry. Well, preacher, I want to take them to a church that, well, a little bit more relaxed in their rules. They're able to just kind of interact with more of the world's philosophies and not real churchy. I don't know what that means, you know. So we're going to find a place that kind of the middle of the road. They tell all the good love stories of the Bible and never preach against sin and conviction and just tickle your ear. Reasons for raising children at biblical ministry. The most important is they'll learn the truth about God. Full of grace, but full of truth. We studied this morning. Full of truth is that God will judge sin. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God will judge. And there is an eternal hell. They'll learn the truth about God. And the sooner the better, because the minds of children are developing as they age. And they need to make sure, not only do children need the right kind of nutrients, and they do. We're so aware of needing the right kind of nutrients for their healthy bones and healthy body and all the different things, and we ought to be. But can I tell you that the spiritual side of that child is developing as well? The mind of that child is developing on the how that child is going to be trained to think. And that child is being raised with the thought that there is no God. their processing of things will not be the same as a child that is raised to know that there is a God. To know that there's an almighty creator God and to be raised with that philosophy, with that truth instead of the philosophies of the world. As that mind is developing, as they're learning new things and they're growing, they need to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As they're being brought up and their minds are developing, they need to have the basis of a right way to think. And that is that there is a God. What's taking place with all these tragedies and these high schools and these young people wanting to kill is because their brains are warped. They're not even fully developed yet, but in the developing stages, they are playing all these games that show nothing but blood and guts and bombs and shooting and killing, all these different things. And the mind is developing with these types of thoughts. That's not the will of God. God designed the human mind, and He knows that it's going to take some time for that mind to develop into maturity and to where it's able to think correctly. And if that mind has not got the basis for the right way to think, and that is God, they will not think right. Being raised in a biblical ministry, they'll learn exactly what the Bible says and all the Bible stories. They'll start learning to quote this God's word. Praise the Lord for the Awana ministry that we have here. We run our own Awana ministry, and Bible memorization is part of it. King James Bible memorization. Once these children put this to memory, it's there for the rest of their lives. And the Holy Spirit of God can bring it back in, even though they might not be able to recall it. The Holy Spirit of God can dive into that subconscious mind and bring those things that they were taught, bring those things that they had memorized, and He can use it to help direct them in their lives for the rest of their lives. They'll learn the truth about God as their minds are developing. They'll learn about prayer. They'll learn that even as a child, there's something they can do in time of troubles. The thing of it is, I believe children's prayers can be stronger than adults' prayers. Because the Bible said that everyone that gets saved has to come with childlike faith. Not questioning, but just believing. Children do not have the capacity to question like adults question because they haven't been filled with all the things adults' minds have been filled with. And the things of this world will hinder the adult mind and will get the adult mind to question the reality of God. Children don't have that as of yet. And yet children can pray. Prayer is answered. You need for a prayer to be answered, get children to start praying for you. Amen. That's how we need to come to the Lord. That's where they're at. And they believe God. If they've been raised to know that there is a God, and they've been raised to know that we have communication with God through prayer. Children's prayers get through to God. They're not hindered as much as adult prayers. I guarantee you that. They'll learn about prayer. They'll learn about God's promises that they'll be able to claim for the rest of their lives. They'll learn about God's power, His abilities, His omnipresence, His omnipotence. Things that can help them through life. They'll learn to adjust their thinking by what thus saith the Lord. To adjust their thinking by what the Bible says. Because if being raised in a biblical church, they'll learn that the Bible is the final authority, not man's thinking. They'll learn to adjust their thinking by what the Bible says instead of adjusting what God says by their own thoughts. It's not man's interpretation of the Bible. It's what thus saith the Lord. It's what the Bible says. God says what he means and means what he says. In a biblical church, children be raised to know the Word of God is the final authority. And then lastly, they'll be more apt to get saved as soon as they reach the age of accountability. Many times when parents want to dedicate their children to the Lord and they come to do that in front of the church, and I always mention to them that this is really a dedication of mom and dad, because the child will not remember this, but the parents will. A day that you realize and you acknowledge that God gave you the children, now you're giving your children back to the Lord and asking God for the wisdom and understanding to raise them according to the way God wants them to be raised. And as you do that, you know that you'll need God's help in raising them. And as you start raising them that way, and usually what I will pray is, God, as soon as this child gets to that age of accountability, because of how they're being raised, they will readily receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. And I believe they will. So they'll be more apt to be saved as soon as they reach the age of accountability. And when they're saved, when they're young, they can live the majority of their years here on earth accomplishing God's will for their lives. Somebody asked, I think it was Dr. Rice, his pastoring at the time, and he said, or he was evangelist, but he said, had six saved at the service. Six and a half saved. And they said, six and a half? Oh, you had six adults and one child? And they said, no. So it had six children and one adult that was half his life had been left, been wasted. Children are saved. They have the rest of their lives to live with the knowledge of God. I tell our bus workers, when you lead a bus child gets saved, you send the Holy Spirit home with them. Every person gets saved has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in the home will make a difference in every home. That little child can go home and make a difference in their own homes. We've seen many parents get saved because of the witness of their children that came to this church and was taught the things of God. Wow. In closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. They can live the majority of their years here on earth accomplishing God's will for their lives. What is God's will for their lives? As they start growing older, they're going to have the temptations of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. They're going to have the pressures of society. And can I tell you that we're living in a day and age where there is great pressure placed upon teenagers, especially for promiscuity, dishonor their bodies. Out of those 1.2 million, a very large percentage of those that are having abortions are teenagers. Teenagers. And what do you expect when the school hands out helps for what they call safe relations? The parents are not teaching abstinence, they're teaching safe relations. When the child is raised according to the Word of God, you'll find that they'll understand this in verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but that he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. That does more damage to your physical makeup. It does more damage to your mind. It does more damage to your own existence. When you give in to something that God created for marriage, something that is so powerful that God has created and designed to keep a marriage together for life. In a young person that has not fully developed his mind, has not fully developed their understanding of things, and they give in to these types of activities, It's the most damaging addiction than a teenager can get themselves involved in. More damaging than drugs and alcohol. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? If only our teenagers would have been raised, the teenagers of this generation would have been raised to understand that truth and to believe that truth. But you're bought with a price. Therefore, this is God's will for your life. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. A young person that is raised to understand this, a young person that commits their lives to this, promises of God are yours. Blessings of God upon your life. That's what you can give your children, parents. That's what we can give every bus child that we bring in here. Jesus was much displeased for turning away the children. Bring them to me. Parents, bring them to him. Give your children to the Lord. Church, let us never turn our backs on the children. Let's continue to reach them. Make a difference in their lives. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Why we have a bus ministry. I trust that you have a better understanding of that now. With a better understanding of that, you might want to be even more committed to helping in that area. There's always a need for workers. Always need for those that'll work on the buses, work in the junior churches. It's a sacrifice? Yes, it is. When you come to church, you would rather come and sit in the auditorium and be ministered to. Praise the Lord for that. But it's a sacrifice that is worth making. Making a difference in the lives of children. It's part of the heart of the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word, and thank you for a church that has a desire to reach children. Thank you for a people that are willing to sacrifice to make a difference. Pray that you'd continue to strengthen this church so that we might even do greater things, greater works for the cause of Christ. Bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.